One of the love and logic skills is you hope and pray for your kids to make mistakes, because the price tag goes up every day. You know, consequences grow in size. Better if they learn when the consequences are small. But one of the reasons we hope and pray for mistakes is we're not as irritated when they happen.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast, helping leaders live with integrity.
Well, if you've been with us a while, you know that we geek out on neuroscience. And today we have a gift for you because we're going to be talking about parenting. And what if I could tell you that we actually can help you parent easier from this point forward? Today's conversation is going to give you some tips on helping you to really hit the mark of what our children really need, what us parents really need. And our guest today has a long history in working with parents and children. You know, the stats are really hard. You know, 57% of teenage girls are persistently sad right now, and anxiety is on the rise, particularly since COVID. And the ADHD and addictions are spiking up amongst our young youth. We really need help as parents. So make sure you stay tuned in. If you are a parent, you want to be a parent, you're helping parents, this conversation is for you.
Well, number one, New York Times bestselling author and neuropsychiatrist, Dr. Daniel Amen, and child psychologist, Dr. Charles Fay, have teamed up to reveal what's missing from most parenting books, addressing both the brain and the mind of your child and yourself in order to effectively raise good and strong humans. When neuroscience meets love and logic, you're going to get practical tools to help children of all ages go from behavioral problems like defiance and meltdowns and power struggles to being more responsible, confident, resilient, better prepared to make good decisions, more focused and motivated, and better able to have healthy relationships. Dr. Fay is an internationally recognized author, consultant, and public speaker. He's also the president of Love and Logic Institute, which became part of Amen Clinics in 2020. Millions of educators, mental health professionals, and parents worldwide have benefited from Dr. Fay's down-to-earth solutions. Dr. Fay, it's great to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, I feel so blessed, so honored to be with you. And those of you watching, listening, so great to have you with me. I'm so excited to visit with you.
This is going to be a great conversation. Yeah. Well, we always love to ask our guests to share a little bit about their story, knowing that our stories shape a lot of who we are as leaders, influencers, and the work we feel called to. So start with your own, maybe younger years, and if there's any key pieces of your story that it's playing a role in who you are today and what you're doing.
Well, I was raised by a parenting expert. Oh, my goodness. My father, Jim Fay, and his good buddy, psychiatrist, Dr. Foster Klein, developed the love and logic approach when I was still pretty little, a long time ago. Yeah. And I think that's why I became a psychologist, is to figure out kind of what happened to me as a kid. But you know what was great? You know, the deciding factor, and we're going to come back to this, is that my parents were good people. I mean, that's who they were. They're just good people who did their best, and they made a lot of mistakes. And sometimes I remind them, my dad of those from time to time, but in a fun way. But we don't have to be perfect, right? That's the good news. I was working as a psychologist independently from my father. I was afraid to work with him. I wanted to stay friends with him and all that. Yeah. And then I'm hearing all these people saying, well, this love and logic, are you related to that guy? And we like it because it gives us the words, the practical skills, like how do you get started? What do you say to the kid when they look at you and say, I'm not doing it? You know, read my lips, Mom. I'm not doing it for you. You know, you can't make me. And one mom came to me and she said, it was such a relief because your father gave me permission to look at my son when he got defiant and say, oh, buddy, I love you too much to fight with you about this. I'm going to have to do something about this, but not now. Later, when I'm calm and when I've talked to all my friends about what I'm going to do. So don't you worry about it, honey. I love you. She said, that just freed me up because I'm like, I don't have to live in fear of not having the answer. I just know I'm not going to have it. And I'm going to have to bring people around me and get some help. And so I'm like, maybe my dad was kind of cool. Like maybe he knew what he was doing. And then he calls me up. We've always been close. And he says, hey, you want to come work with me? And I'm like, that's a little scary. And I did it. And that was decades ago. And he's going to be 90 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to celebrate together. And one of the things we want to celebrate is that we had tons of joy working together. So I feel so blessed by God that I was able to work with my dad and we enjoyed each other. So, and I have kids myself and they brought me to my knees so many times that's really shaped me. So that's the story in a nutshell.
Thanks for sharing the honesty behind that. And it gives me a little hope for my own children. You know, not that I'm the expert or that we're the experts that your dad was, but love and logic is so woven into even a lot of other parenting wisdom these days. And so it's kind of a basis for so many other things. And so it's fun that you turned out relatively normal and healthy. So we'll give us a credit.
It depends on who you ask in the day. It really does.
And this is a long interview. So let's we'll
wait to see.
Oh boy. Here we go.
Judgment.
The less, you know, and authenticity is so important. I mean, as we get older and we realize who's shaped our lives, it's those people who are authentic and they will come alongside us. And we know they've made mistakes, but we see that they keep on pressing towards the goal. You know, they're not hanging on to this stuff in the past. They're letting that go and they're moving forward.
Yeah.
That's good.
Dr. Fay, what are some of the trends that you're seeing here in mental health of kids and teens today? What would you say are some of those root causes? Right? Well, we're reading a lot of this. We're hearing a lot of it coming forward. For decades, people in our fields have been seeing these things, drawing it out, but it's starting to get more popular. How would you shape this focus?
Well, I'm saying stress. Kids are stressed out. You know, people are stressed out. So much anxiety, so much sadness, depression, so many substance abuse issues, so much addiction, so many just struggles in life. And, you know, Love and Logic's niche has always been to get things down to a simple place where we can actually take action, right? These are complex problems, but I am going to intentionally oversimplify them in the moment so that we have something that we can work on so we're not overwhelmed. And what it really comes down to, in my opinion, professional opinion, is kids need more leadership than ever. It really comes down to leadership.
Yeah.
Growing up is harder than ever before. It's scarier than ever before. And they need more adults in their lives who can be more consistently, and let's slow down, be consistently powerful and loving at the same time. Strong and loving adults, firm and caring adults in their lives. And that's really shaped my parenting over the years. Sometimes when, you know, it's like you feel like you're just overwhelmed by so many decisions in life and your kids and different opinions that you read on, you know, you go to the Oracle of All Knowledge, Google, and then it makes it worse because you're overwhelmed. And I keep coming back to strong and loving. How can we be strong and loving with our kids?
You know, I just as you say that, Dr. Fay, it sounds a lot like, take my yoke. It's light.
Right.
You know, where it is, it allows us to, we submit to this wisdom here, even just the way in which you slowed your voice, which was intentional in saying these things. I felt even more calm listening. It drew me in. And it's just a powerful thing to do is to, with a strong, loving presence, lead. I think kids respond to that. Teens respond to that even, if it's consistent, right?
Yeah, we need that so bad. And the yoke is light. I mean, what we want to be able to do for people around us is not to overwhelm them, but to give them some hope that, I can live out these core principles. I don't have to be perfect, but I can do this. And as Daniel, Dr. Amen, is such a brilliant, wonderful man, you know, we got together and we want this to be deep, but we want it to be practical, simple, and again, coming down to those two characteristics, firm and caring, powerful and loving at the same time.
I love it. It's before we dive into kind of what you and Dr. Amen have combined between the neurobiology and the mind, which we're going to untangle for parents a little bit. Start with just maybe explaining love and logic, because I realize that maybe not everyone in our audience has run up against this. And especially in a culture where there's a lot of messages about parenting, and even where you're starting to say, we've got to lead our children, not let our children lead us, which has been a parenting bent for the last couple decades.
Right, exactly. And so love and logic is based on just two guidelines, or really rules for us adults. And the first rule of love and logic is that we take really good care of ourselves in loving ways. We do that by setting limits without anger, lecture, threats, begging, repeated warnings, but we're taking really good care of ourselves, because isn't that what great leaders do? I mean, if I'm not taking care of myself as a parent, who do my kids look to for an example? And so quite frankly, in the love and logic home, the parents come first. And that's out of great love. You know, mom and dad are going to take good care of themselves so that we can love you in healthy ways. So that when you're stressed, kid, you know, because you're getting called names at school, or you got this test that's coming up, or you don't think you're as pretty as somebody else, or you're struggling with all of those things that are terrifying for young people, you can come to us, and through our demeanor, you can know that you are loved and that you have the boundaries you need to feel safe. And parents, those of you who are watching, listening, just know that boundaries equal love. Limits equal love. Please love your kids enough to set those limits, and love them enough to know that when they complain about those limits, like, you know, Julie's parents let her do whatever she wants. That's a test. Pass the test with strength and love and calmness. And you can say to your daughter, oh, honey, that's sad for her, right? And we love you too much to just let you run free. We love you too much to argue with you about that.
Yeah. It's in a frame of love. Love has limits.
Before I forget, because I do that sometimes, I promise two things. Okay, let me deliver.
Oh, right.
Okay.
I forgot to.
That's the risk in saying, okay, here's three things or here's two things, right? So you got to promise that you're going to deliver. And that's a parenting skill in and of itself, is do what you say you're going to do, right? So the second rule, love and logic, and it's very important, is that when a kid encounters a problem or they create one, you hand it back to them in loving ways. See, how are kids going to learn how to be strong people in the world? How are they going to learn how to deal with life's trials? By having them.
Yeah, they got to practice.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like it as a parent one bit, right? You know, but the truth is, we have to allow them to have trials. And, you know, we do step in and rescue when it's absolutely necessary, right? There's so many times we sit back and we say things like, wow, you know, you're telling me that you're not happy with your coach. He hasn't let you play as much as you want. That's got to be disappointing. Would you like to hear some ideas about how to solve that problem? Now the kid is suddenly realizing, whoa, I'm going to have to talk to my coach rather than my dad doing it. And, you know, that's one of the things that is really missing in our culture that is leading to a lot of fear among young people, and that they haven't been allowed to really face the challenges in life. And they haven't had somebody who would be a great consultant to stand beside them and say, hey, here's some ideas. How will that work out? And then have that person step aside and allow that young person to actually solve that problem, work on that problem. Critical, parents critical for mental strength. They have to face challenges.
So good. I mean, I know we're going to get there, but I can't help but keep thinking about the Deuteronomy passage of choose life. Or is that Exodus? I'm having a moment. But where God says, you choose life, you choose death, but you choose. And this whole process all the way down to even the gospel message of you choose, but I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. And then even thinking about how God was with Moses and Moses is begging him, you know, when he gets the Ten Commandments and in Exodus 33, and he's like, I need your presence. These are your people you asked me to lead. So, but he's going to do it. God's going to have Moses do it. But he says, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. But it's this tension of going with, but not doing for. And the practice that we see throughout God's people. And that's really ultimately what we're trying to help our kiddos with at every little small juncture. So I love that you're laying that foundation for us.
And when we go through scripture, we see so many examples of God standing beside people and going through with them through some really tough times. And one of the lessons we can learn from that is that he does allow us to struggle. He does allow us to make decisions and from time to time get ourselves in a fix. And that allows us to see our dependency on that, on him, really.
Yeah, so, he doesn't rescue us from the fix. Right. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So untangle. Well, was there anything else on love and logic before we move to the difference between the mind and the neuroscience?
That would take like 6 days of continuous talking. So let's, I don't think we should do that. So let's move on.
Okay, we'll move on. Yeah. So that's what you guys are saying as in this new book and in helping parents, really saying we need to think about the neurobiology of our children and their mind. So untangle that. What does that really mean for the average parent who's never really thought about their child's brain versus their child's mind and so on?
Yeah, let's keep it really, really simple and really practical, as I like when things are simple and practical. So the brain, let's differentiate that from the mind. The brain is that physical organ between our ears, right? And the mind, the way I think about it is it's the programming, it's the input, it's all the experiences, it's our parenting, it's the love and logic, and how kids learn to interpret and think about the world and how they learn to make choices and understand that choices matter. And of course, the two are so tightly intertwined. So in the book, we talk about brain health a lot. The brain has to be a physically healthy organ. And so kids getting enough sleep, kids taking care of their brains by wearing helmets, by watching avoiding activities that where the brain can be damaged, football, you know, I'll just say it, we didn't do it, you know, with our kids, because it was too much of a concern, because even when there's a good helmet on, that brain still floats around inside of the skull. And when it hits against the inside of the skull, there's problems. And many of the anxiety issues, depression issues, problems with cause and effect that people have can really be traced back to some identifiable brain injury. So we want to take really good care of that organ between the ears. A good diet, good sleep, healthy physical activity, all those things that we really know are good for kids. But let's come in close and think about this. The two are interrelated, right? And so when we parent the mind well, it stimulates brain growth. So one way to think about it is the brain really doesn't fully mature until at least age 25, okay? And my wife still says, I'm not sure you're there yet, right? It takes a long time for this thing to mature. And so when kids are younger, of course they use immature ways to get their needs met or to get us to give in to their desires. And that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not like they're making a written plan every day to drive us nuts. It's like, that's just, they're just not ready yet. The brain's not mature. And so the immature things are, well, throw yourself on the ground when you're two in the store, or try to get your parent to stop and pay attention to you and buy you what you want, or argue with your parents when you're a teenager, or keep pushing, or disrupt the classroom because you don't really want to learn. And so there's all these immature ways that are, by the way, developmentally normal, right? Immature ways that people, little kids and teenagers, try to solve problems, get their needs met. And so we have a choice, talking about choices. We can vote for brain shrinkage or brain growth. I mean, listeners, watchers, what are we going to vote for?
Which do you choose?
Yeah, exactly. Which one are you going to go for, right? And so when we allow kids, because we're not parenting well, because we're not setting limits, because they're able to yank our chain and put us through our emotional paces, when we do that, what we're really doing is allowing that brain to stay the same or go backwards, right? The brain requires some struggle in order to grow. So in other words, my kid is arguing with me. You know, they're trying to get me to back down. Maybe I've had a habit in the past of getting angry or backing down something. Okay, fine, but this is the last time kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, what has just worked for the kid? An immature coping strategy, and now their brain's relaxed, at least for the moment. Oh, mission accomplished. No need in growing, right? But let's say I look at my child and I say, you know, I love you too much to argue with you about this. And the answer is no. And they keep it up. And I just keep saying, I love you too much to argue. And they keep arguing. And I say, I love you too much to argue. And I get quieter instead of louder. Now, this kid is suddenly encountering a challenge. Yikes, the old strategies aren't working. What a great problem to have for a brain. Because now new neural pathways have to get laid down that can help that kid develop some more mature ways of getting their desires, their needs met. The question is, are we putting ourselves around people who cause us to grow? And are our kids around people, us, right, who are causing them to grow? Mm-hmm. But every time a kid has a little challenge, a little struggle, an old immature way of working with people isn't working anymore, and they're forced to develop some new skills, that's called brain growth. That's what I vote for.
Hmm. So by the time they get to that 25-year-old range, they're going to have a more fully developed, holistic brain, instead of still using some of those very immature coping strategies that calm the brain immediately, but don't give them long-term healthy coping strategies.
Yeah. And how many adults now really don't have a full arsenal of healthy coping strategies?
Totally.
So that's actually a critical issue. And I don't know if we're here to solve that here, but I think yes. We have a lot of parents who are still very young. Yeah. Parenting these children. And then we have leaders that are coming alongside trying to help. And we're parenting the parents in this generation. And I don't say that with shame. I just say that with reality.
It's the reality. And what an honor it is to be able to do that. And can we just jump on that just a moment?
Yeah.
I mean, let's go with that. Over the years with Love and Logic, we've done a lot of experimentation, try to figure out how do we help people. And we always keep coming back to the same thing that God teaches us over and over again. It's about relationship. It's like being able to meet people where they are, and to love them right where they are, and coming alongside younger parents and people who are struggling and demonstrating that presence. That's what makes it happen. Being real. That's what makes it happen. And giving them encouragement in that, you know, you don't have to be perfect. See, love and logic teaches with stories. We've always taught with stories, right? And most of the stories involve examples of people who have really struggled. Mm. And they've overcome challenges. I'll tell you a quick little story. His mom was really struggling with her three-year-old, and the kid was pushing buttons, and mom was giving in, and she didn't know anything better. So she learned how to say to this little girl, little Amy, she'd say, "Oh, little Amy, you know, I love you too much to argue. I love you too much to argue, and I'll listen when your voice is calm." And that's all mom learned. See, we need to give people little chunks, right? Mm-hmm. And this is growing brain, so this is way more powerful than it appears at first glance. But anyway, they're in the car, and mom's been working on this, and she's about ready to give in because it's so hard, and the kid's mad at her because, you know, the kid can't get her way anymore, and mom's driving along, and they see the Golden Arches McDonald's. The kid wants to stop. Mom says, "No." Kid starts going crazy, and mom just says, "Oh." You know, we teach that too. When your kids are having a problem, go, "Oh." You know, that's calming you, not them. Right? And mom
the pregnant pause.
Right. Oh. And mom does that, and pretty soon the little girl yells from the back seat, "No, mommy." And then she says to her mother, she says, "No, mommy, I love you too much to argue." So the kid is actually learning a skill from mom, right? Yeah. Think about it. You know, I mean, honestly, I look back at my parents. They both came from such, you know, struggling backgrounds. Yeah, they weren't given a lot of parenting skills. We learned together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Together. Yeah. There's a,
that's beautiful.
That was modeled to us through the scriptures. We integrate our faith into our relationships, into our world, into our work, into wherever we go, the power of presence.
Yeah.
Jesus walked into any room and I have to think that he was thinking like this in some respects, right? That I think I'll just wait here and let them ask me this question, mm-hmm. you know, knowing the question they would ask. And then I'll do the,
Yeah. Well, can we share two things that people can get started with right away?
Let's get practical, because I would love that. I think the sigh is a good one. The "I love you too much." I was thinking that'd be good even in marriage. I'm going to use that on Jeff this week.
Yeah, the attitude is really important, though. You know, when I say, "Well, I love you too much to argue," it's not quite the same. But you know, we're talking about two powerful constructs, two powerful principles, and one is this loving presence, and the second are boundaries, limits. And so when we can provide those two things, that loving presence, that communication that I see you, and you are the apple of my eye, that's powerful. And years ago, I'm at a baseball game. I have adult sons and one who's almost an adult, and we're watching a baseball game. And there's all these siblings of players running around and on the, you know, underneath the bleachers, and parents are trying to multitask a lot. And I hear this little girl under the bleachers, and she, by the way, she's drawing with a stick in the dirt, which is the greatest thing for a kid to do. You want your kids to have strong brains, send them out and let them play in the dirt. I mean, that's way better than any educational strategy. Yeah. Okay.
Brain,
you
know, growth, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you got to figure out how to be entertained.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Isn't it interesting that going forwards requires us as a society, maybe we go a little bit backwards, okay?
Yeah.
In terms of really organic, non-exciting things for our kids to do. Kids need to be bored, but that's a whole other topic. Okay, so she's drawing in the dirt, and I hear this beautiful voice of hers say, "Daddy, Daddy, look at me." You know? And he looks down there. He says, I see you. You're doing that. He has no idea what she's doing, but he wants to comment on it, right? And then he's trying to watch his son play. And then I hear her again, "Daddy, look at this. Look at me." You know, he says, "Oh, I see you. You're doing that." And I heard that about a zillion times during the course of the thing. And Dad was beautiful. I mean, he was amazing because he kept saying, "I see you. I see you. You're doing that. And it hit me right there. Isn't that the heartfelt need?
Yeah.
You know, that never goes away for any of us.
Never.
To have the Father see us, you know that he sees us, right? And so we developed this little strategy. It's so simple, but it's called the one sentence intervention. And you can write this down, watchers, listeners, you write down the words, I noticed that. I noticed that. And then just fill in a blank of something that your kid really likes to do or they're doing at the moment, or maybe something they like in general, like a color, you know, it's like, and at least once a day, if not more, go to them when they're just on their own and just stop for a second and just look at them and say, I notice that you like to draw, or I notice that you like Legos. And then stop and don't say anything, which is the hardest thing to do. Don't say, that's great. Don't say, wow, that's wonderful. Just say, I noticed that, and stop. And what parents say is little ones love it. You know, the little ones are just pulling on their dress, pulling on their shirt all the time. Daddy, look at, notice this. You know, teenagers look at you like you're weird. Okay. And then you can look at the teenager and say, I noticed that too. It's an age-related condition that I have. But the essence is being noticed and then taking the time to have presence with them. Mm-hmm. I think this little technique is powerful because it's not threatening to parents too. It's easy to do, right? There's a second concept I want to share with you. And we talked about how important it is for kids to have limits, but how do we set those? I mean, do we set them by telling kids what to do? You know, hurry up, quit talking to me, take out the trash. Mm. You know, all we have to do to see rebellion is tell somebody what to do. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if any of you have ever said to a strong-willed kid, hurry up. And you've got to compare them to a stationary object, right? They slow down. And then you're in a jam. You look bad. And you're frustrated. And so you'll learn this in the book. Again, it's Raising Mentally Strong Kids. But it's setting limits by describing what you're going to do. I'll listen when your voice is calm. You know, I'll be happy to do the extra things I do for you when I feel respected and the chores are getting done. Well, the kid comes to you later on. Hey, Dad, you know, when are we going to go? When are we going to leave? You know, we got to go. Oh, and when do I get things done for you? Yeah, that's right. I'm happy to do those things when I feel respected and those chores are getting done. And so when we describe what we're going to do, for example, I allow kids to keep the toys they pick up, which was one of our very favorite ones in our house. Yeah, feel free to keep the toys you pick up. Right. We'd pick up the ones that they didn't pick up. The problem was those were gone.
Yes, I love that.
The love of logic.
Choices matter, right? But friends, who can we control?
Ourselves,
yeah. Mm. And even then we need help.
Do we ever? And so does it make sense that we're going to be far better leaders when we're focusing mostly on setting limits on our own behavior? And that's really what we're talking about here.
I love it. Okay, I'm going to throw a scenario out. It's very real. Every parent has experienced this moment. How, with those two tools, might you integrate and respond? So everybody's in a hurry. We're late for school because of some normal circumstances that happened. And everybody's trying to get in the car. And you have the one little kid who's taking their time. They're on their own time clock and they're trying to get their shoes on, but they're doing their own thing. And the mom is feeling stressed or the dad's feeling stressed because the consequence is everyone's going to be late. Yeah. All the other kiddos followed the rules and did the thing, but this one little one is still taking their time. You can hear the blow up starting to happen with the stress. So what would you do in that scenario?
So stressful. Tools? Yeah. So I'll give you experiments, and that's what the book is all about. Little experiments, right? We need to decide which ones are best for our family. But with a lot of little kids, we love for parents to have this all planned out in advance so they aren't stressed about it. And they hope the kid is dawdling, See, one of the love and logic skills is you hope and pray for your kids to make mistakes, because the price tag goes up every day. You know, consequences grow in size. Better if they learn when the consequences are small.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons we hope and pray for mistakes is we're not as irritated when they happen. Mm-hmm. Praying for them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Oh, goody. Little Julie is really dawdling. She's just not getting herself together. This is great, because I'm all ready for it. Oh, sweetie pie. Hey, the car leaves when the timer goes off on my phone. When you hear it, car's leaving. Yeah, but I'm not ready yet. No worries. You can go with us. You're with your clothes on your body or your clothes in a bag. No big deal, right?
Yeah.
And so as soon as the timer goes ding, there's already a bag in the car because it's already been planned out. And here's little Julie. Well, no, I'm not dressed. No worries. People love you the way you are. You don't have to you don't have to be anything that you aren't. We just That's love good. You the way you are. Come as you are, right? That kind of thing. And I actually know somebody who did that with a little girl. They're late for church. You know, every Sunday. So mom gets on the phone with the child care lady, head of child. Hey, expect a little girl coming. She's going to have a little superhero jammies on and we'll have a bag, you know, and they planned it all out and it was done with great love.
That's beautiful.
You know, but yeah. And so sometimes though we have an older kid and sometimes we want to have it set up ahead of time where a babysitter arrives. Yeah, somebody they know. And as we're going out the door, say, well, we're going, and you'll be staying with so-and-so. And oh, she'll be asking you how you plan to pay her, but we'll work that out. You know, that's no big deal.
We'll see. Oh,
it's like out the door you go, you know. you know, I don't want to give people the impression that, you know, we think somehow we can use some quick tricks and life will be easy, right. You know, it doesn't that work that way. But, you know, if we can have some practical strategies like this and we can have some joy and love as we do it, you know, things are better. Things are better.
I think the main thing I'm hearing is, one, think ahead of time, know your children, know kind of what their tendency is, and then having an opportunity where they experience a relatively natural consequence then might shift the next time.
Yeah.
And as parents really thinking through those consequences and us having to learn to live with them. I think of a lot of the moms who are like, oh, my child's showing up to church in jammies. And I'm like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. And so that's really good. It's really good for a lot of us parents.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things we need to remember, I think, is that, you know, when we're not perfect, think how encouraging that is to other people who are watching us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember being on a flight and I spilled my coffee or something on my leg. And the lady next to me was so wonderful. She just smiled at me and she said, oh, that's okay. You just made everybody else around you feel better about themselves.
Oh, that's great, right?
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Well, before we start to land the plane, there's so many other pieces to your book that we want to pull out. One is something called mental hygiene. Will you unpack that concept with us? What right. is it and why is it important?
Right.
And maybe we already covered it.
Yeah, well, in some ways, but mental hygiene, if we define it, is basically any practice that contributes to health. And it's more oriented towards cleanliness. So mental cleanliness.
Got
oh,
it.
Now we're in trouble. It's just a tough thing to do. But there are three things that are really important for all of us to do when we teach our kids. And number one, nothing new, but we're looking at, hey, what are we putting in front of us? What's going in, you know, to the brain, right? That's important. We've really lost track of that in our culture. That, yeah, it's not good for us to be putting constant negativity in front of us, constant sexually inappropriate things, violence. All, it's not good for any of us, even us who have mature brains, okay? So number two, it's how we think inside of the brain. So it's input, right? Number two, it's interpretation. It's like, what are we dwelling on? And in the book, we talk about ants. And some people have an ant infestation in their brain, right? And so an ant is an automatic negative thought. And we can teach our kids how to identify those. And we can teach them a different way to go. And I personally, I love to combat those with scripture. You know, I'm working on one right now, and I'll be transparent. I tend to grumble. I tend to complain about things if I don't watch myself. And I found this, you know, I'm going to use my phone right now, right in the middle of a podcast, how rude that is. But see, when I turn my phone on and I see that, I'll read it for you. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So I like to put those on my phone. So when I turn it on, boom, right there in front of my face, right? We could teach our kids these strategies to combat those automatic negative thoughts. Or, for example, I'm worthless, or I can't do this, or I never do anything right. We can help them develop some different beliefs, some different thinking that they entertain. And lastly, it is what we do with those thoughts. So it's the input, it's the interpretation. So input, what we put in, it's interpretation, how we think about it, and then it is how we act on it. And God cares deeply about all three of those things, right?
Yes, he does.
Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Glory to you, Lord. And so we can remember those things, which, by the way, are really strongly supported by psychology and psychiatry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a gift we can give our kids.
It's one of the most fun things, not being a psychologist or a mental health professional myself, Tara holds that, as just bearing witness to how the discoveries in neuroscience and in the last decade and coming, I'm on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to see what's next, because it just seems to continue to validate the design, you know, the incredible design, that we get to play with these things and learn and grow is incredible. Love the work that you guys have been up to and for a long time now. Respect that as a non-mental health professional, but who works with leaders and people and gleans and drafts from this wisdom into the areas where I'm at. Dr. Faye, this has been incredible. I just love the pace that you led us through, because you modeled the pace that you're wanting people to experience, and to slow down, to have a higher quality of communication and connection and presence. I was benefiting from that and experiencing that from you today. And tell our listeners where to go to find more about you and the resources that you and Dr. Immon have put together here.
Thank you. So loveandlogic.com is a really good place to go. Just loveandlogic.com and danielamonmd.com. We're all over the internet. You'll find us. And most of it's pretty good. You know, most of the people like us. So
That's good.
Well, if you could leave parents with one last, you've given us so many beautiful principles, some practical tips. Is there anything that feels like was left off the table that you want to put back on the table and right in front of us as parents? One last word of encouragement or tip as they end their day.
Time.
Go for it.
Time is so, so precious. And as we get older, we start coming to grips with the fact that our time with our kids, with our family, is something that we can't get back. And when we can remember that time and presence, our time and our presence with the people we love, is the single most curative thing that we can do. When we can remember that, it doesn't guarantee a trial-free life, but it brings purpose, because then we can show people we're presence even in the midst midst of a storm. We're present mm-hmm. even when the wheels feel like they're falling off. And when we can do that with people, that's love. You can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. Well, we don't often ask our guests, or we don't typically pray over, but I feel led to ask you to pray for parents and future parents and those helping parents to pray as we close today. Would you mind doing that?
Thank you so much. Okay. It's an honor. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We're so thankful for your love, for your grace. Lord, I think often of your people, Israelites at the Red Sea, and they see the cloud of dust, and they see Pharaoh's army, and they feel like they don't know what to do. They're terrified, and they're at the end of their rope. And so many times we feel that way with our families, with our kids. We just don't know where to turn. We feel trapped in old strategies that don't work, Lord. And Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still, Lord. I pray that as a result of this podcast, our time together, that we would all be reminded of God's provision and His God's love for us, and that we would be still and we would trust in Him. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, Dr. Fay. Thank you for joining us, for those who are listening or watching. And if you are wanting more support in this area, definitely check out those websites, and the book will have all the resources in our show notes. And then also, if you want a coach, a counselor, visit livingwholehearted.com. We're here to help you and come alongside and be that loving presence with you as you join in with your kids. We believe parenting is one of the greatest leadership roles and opportunities we have, and that we can do all kinds of things out in the world as leaders, but to make sure that our kids are the ones at the center. And also to put Dr. Fay's words to use is also thinking about ourselves, our walk with God, and our marriages, because a healthy home for our kids is when we can be a little less stressed, a little more grounded, know who we are, so we can come alongside in the midst of their world. So thank you for joining us. And until next time, continue to grow and become the leader you would follow.
Well, did you know that we're not just podcasters? One of the best ways to connect with Tara and I and our whole team at Living Wholehearted is our website, livingwholehearted.com. There you're going to find the books that we've written, our e-courses, executive coaching, organizational development, and professional counseling services. And then one of our favorite things that we're up to these days, our Wholehearted Leadership Cohorts, where we take groups of leaders for 1 to 2 year journeys together. It's amazing. While you're there, for fresh content, make sure that you sign up for our e-newsletter. That's where we're putting out stuff every month that you want to keep close with. So visit livingwholehearted.com.
You can also join us on socials at @living_wholehearted on Instagram, and we are Living Wholehearted on Facebook. You can also follow me at Tara Mattson on Instagram. We love to engage with you personally there, so make sure you reach out. Leave us a review if you're enjoying this podcast.
Hey, thank you for caring about being the kind of person and leader that lives with integrity.